Our scripture reading will be in Isaiah 40, verses 25 through 31. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint.
Amen, amen. And it was along those lines that we were up in the Adirondacks, because our theme for this past weekend retreat was, what was it, Derek? Retreat, relax, and rest. And today, what are we talking about in church? Renewed, rejuvenated, return to serve. It's a blessing to be alive today. I am alive because of Jesus. How about you? There are people who started this week, Sister Sharon, and they're no longer around today, this Sabbath. They're gone. You know, Risha has a co-worker, and, you know, her co-worker, little 7-year-old, walked out with her grandma, and or a friend, I should say. Little 7-year-old walked out with her grandma to the garden. Grandma went out singing. And the little girl had a change of mind. She came back in. And then she said, you know what, let me go back out with grandma. By the time she returned to the garden, grandma was gone. In that little window of time, she had a massive heart attack. Paramedics said she died before she hit the ground. It took her out clean, one swipe. I'm just saying, the truth is, we are here and we are alive, and each of us should have a praise for God today. What do you say? We come to the house of God and we come with our praise, because God is altogether lovely. And while others passed away this week, we are alive. And to me, that's reason to praise God. Every day above ground is a good day. Amen. One person says, if you are on the grassy side and not the root side of the ground, you're doing well. Amen. Yes, every day vertical is a good day. Every day vertical is a good day. Yeah, the Lord has been at work in our hearts. You know, and Gary, it's good to see you. Yeah, we learned that trouble came your way a little bit, and we couldn't account for you, and without a phone, it was a little bit hard, but we're glad that you are in God's house again today. Amen? And it's good to see each of your faces. You know, there are different challenges that each of us face, but by God's grace, we are more than conquerors. Amen? More than conquerors. Yeah, where will you be this time next year if Jesus doesn't come by then? Where will you be? 2 years from now, Jesus doesn't come yet, where will you be? What is your walk with God like? I am here today to share a very special message with you. And I pray for all the little children and the youth that are present here, and for all the grown-ups, that God's special power will come over us today. My prayer is that none of us will leave just the way we came. Some of us came here energetic already, but I want us to leave more energized for Jesus Christ. Amen? So at this time, I invite you to bow your heads with me as we talk with God in prayer. Our great God and our Father in heaven, your love for us is matchless. There's no one in this world that loves or even have the capacity to love us the way that you love us, Lord. So, Lord, we come today. Jesus, you says in John 14, 15, you say there, if you love me, keep my commandments. The Sabbath is one of your 10 commandments, and we are here because it is the Sabbath day, the holy day, the rest day, the day of worship, the day of holy convocation, and we are here to worship you, Lord. Jesus, you have never disappointed your children, and we've come to your house today with praises, and we pray for your blessing, for you to baptize us with the fire baptism, baptize us with the Holy Spirit, touch us from heaven, and revive us, Lord. As we spend these next moments in your word, now, bring us alive in Christ. And Lord, may we celebrate you more than we celebrate any sports team. May we praise you, Lord. May we honor you today more than we honor any politician. May we worship you today, Lord, as you alone deserves. And Lord, may we put the enemy to flight and put the enemy to shame by our praises, heartfelt, genuine praises to you in your house here today. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. You know, one of our greatest needs at this time is to be renewed. We need to be rejuvenated. And as soon as we are, we need to return to our posts of duty to serve. What do you say? Our sermon title is Renewed, Rejuvenated, Return to Serve. You know, over the course of the COVID-related lockdowns, the goodness of God has been demonstrated once again. What do you say? Yes. Has anyone here seen the goodness of God during these COVID times? And I have some witnesses. Amen. Praise be to God. You know, God didn't leave or forsake any of you. And if you are hearing the sound of my voice today, it is because God has preserved you and kept you alive. Amen. He has. Which of you here had to go hungry during the COVID times? Which of you here had to go homeless during the COVID times? I guarantee you, not one. Not a single one. God provided you with jobs. God provided you with housing. God provided you with retirement money. God provided you with care, with safety, with social security, with food, with a family, with a church family. God provided some of you with supplementary income during these times. And some have even reaped unemployment benefits too. He has made a way for the preaching of his gospel. And that is delivered to you even when we were barred from meeting in in-person church service. God still made a way. And we had been using a little thing called Zoom and Facebook Live. We've been making use of those platforms to herald the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, off late, we even managed to pull off the annual district retreat over the Labor Day weekend up in the Adirondacks. We retreated. We relaxed. We rested. We call it there R&R and R. Amen. Retreat. Relax, rest. And we have come to the house of God today. We didn't want to leave you out, so we came today with the same theme. R&R and R. Renewed, rejuvenated, return to serve in our posts of duty. Our post of duty is our own hearts, our own homes, our schools, our community. And in three words, our post of duty is wherever we are. Your post of duty is wherever you are. So wherever you find yourself on earth, that is your place of duty. And you need to shine there for Jesus. Amen? And what we needed today, we need to make America shine again. Amen? Yes, we need to make America shine again. It came out in the reading for the offertory. It talked about starting, it mentioned the guy that wrote a book. And it said the guy wrote a book and it talked about the beginning of the journey or begin where you are. Today I want to remind you to bloom where you're planted. You are in your specific place, in your workplace. Did you think that you were only in your workplace to earn a salary? No. You're in earning a salary in your workplace is a secondary responsibility. Your first responsibility in your workplace is to shine for Jesus Christ. Boy, I got three amens on that one. I'll take three. I said, in your place of work, your number one responsibility is to represent Jesus Christ there. It is true, sometimes you may not be able to preach like I'm doing today in your workplace. But I tell you, when you live for Jesus, you're a living sermon being preached. Amen? Your attitude, your demeanor, your persona. And by the way, when you walk with God, there's a certain aura. There's a certain presence is with you because the Holy Spirit himself is with you. And you influence your environment when you're connected with Christ. You might not be able to say much with word, but your life is speaking loudly. And oftentimes you'll find people coming to you to ask questions because they realize that you're not as fearful about COVID as the news try to make us. It's true, you're going to act wisely because we don't want to contract or to pass on this virus, right? But at the same time, you don't go live your life in fear. You live your life in reverence instead for Jesus Christ. You live your life in power of the gospel. And as a result, you can have confidence in times like these. Amen? There's a difference with the believer and the unbeliever. There's a difference with the one who is walking with Christ and the one who is not. There's a difference when you spend time in this sacred word on a daily basis, you have power to meet every emergency. And so, God wants you to bloom where you're planted. So next time you go out to work, just remind yourself, earning a salary is your secondary role there. It's your number two role, earning that salary. Your number one role is to reflect Jesus Christ. Bloom where you are planted. Now, there is no use taking up your post of duty if your duty is unknown. How many of you know your role for existence here on earth? And somebody told me this week, Dennis, that the sound of children is one of the sweetest sound you can hear. Amen. So don't feel bad. She is quite fine. Yes, the sound of children. They're a joy. Children are the joy of the Lord, you know. The heritage of the Lord. Yes, and we should get used to it because in heaven you'll have quite a few children around you too. Yes, so we get practice from down here. Yes. How many of you here know your number one role on earth? Raise your hand if you do. All right. I like to see the hands. I see about 8 hands. 9. Any more? 10. I counted yours, Jessica. All right, so about 10 hands. Let me see your hands if you don't know what is your role on earth. Let's flip it around then. All right, Luke is still thinking about it. At least you're brave, Luke, you know. We have 10 people say they know, and no other hand. I didn't look over at Sister Sharon, so I don't know if she raised her hand. But we have 10 people said they know, and then I asked who don't know, only Luke's hands went up. That's not reality. We're not reflecting reality here, amen? There are more than 11 of us here. But the truth is, I want to give you a scripture passage that actually describes humanity's role. Open your Bibles. I'm not even going to quote this one just for you like that. Open your Bibles. And I'd like you to find Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. You know, I want to see what the wise man Solomon says the duty of mankind is. The duty of all human beings. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and we're looking at verse 13. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and we want the 13th verse. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. The wise man Solomon, and he was very foolish at one time, wasn't he? Deceived by sin. He says here, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. You know, when I was in high school, You know, we did chemistry labs. We did physics labs, biology labs. And I was very good at chemistry and physics. I should have become a scientist, you know. But you know, when we're doing the labs, we have a 5-point method that we use to reflect our lab. One, we had an aim. We're about to research something, so we had an aim. And then after that, we had the apparatus. What is it we're going to use to carry out our aim? And then thirdly, we had our method. What method are we going to carry out our aim? What's the method we're going to use? And then the fourth point was something we call observation. We let the experiment go on and we spend time observing. And then the fifth thing is we drew a conclusion. So aim, apparatus, method, observation, then we draw the conclusion. Solomon didn't even bother to tell us about the aim and apparatus and method and observation. He rushed right to the conclusion. He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man, according to the King James Version. New King James Version, he said, this is man's all. Our whole purpose of existence is to fear God and keep his commandments. Therefore, anything that gets in the way of that is ungodly. Did you catch that? Our whole duty is to fear God and keep his commandments. So if anything interferes with that, we know it's not from God. God's not going to give us any job, any duty, any role that will cause us to not fear God and to not keep his commandments. So if you find yourself in a situation where you're not fearing God and you're not keeping God's commandments, you are in Satan's position. You're in the seat of the Antichrist. You know, the Antichrist is not just over in Rome somewhere, you know. The Antichrist is anything against Christ. That's what Antichrist means, against Christ. The whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandment. And this fear is awe. This fear is reverence. This fear is respect. The whole duty of man is to respect God, to revere God, to reverence his holy name, and to keep his commandments. Therefore, if I have a job that causes me to break God's Sabbath, that job is not from God. If I have exams to take in school that make me break God's Sabbath, that exam is not from God. As a matter of fact, the Lord has so blessed that since I'm in this district, on behalf of every person I've ever written to get the Sabbath off, they have gotten the Sabbath off. And if they had exams, I have doctors in this district that have made major medical exams on the Sabbath. And I have written a letter on their behalf to the medical board, and they've rescheduled and give them a different day to do their medical exams. I'm just saying, God is at work. And whatever God calls us to, he's given us the ability and the strength and the energy to obey it. We want to be true to God. We want to be loyal to God. And think about this. If we were as loyal to God as some of us are about political parties, man, we would get the work done. If we're as excited about Jesus as we are about our candidate, oh, this world would be on fire for Jesus. You know, I was in Wegmans yesterday, and I could tell by the conversation that I had a Republican, a Democrat right in front of me, you know. We were in the line, and they had closed the bottle redemption center. That's where I was. I was going to do some redemption and then get some water and stuff. And so I was at the head of the line. The place was closed. Another lady came, and, you know, she kept a little distance. And then another lady came, and she was like 10 feet away. You know, and then this lady hopped right in, and she just came right in and took the third spot and just went right into some discussion. And she actually said she had the COVID before, and you know, she said this is killing her, and you know, she can't stand this mask and everything. And I could see that the lady far off was taking offense to what she's doing. One, she cut her space, and two, she just berating the mask. You know, and the situation has escalated, and I'm thinking, man, should I say anything or, you know, or just leave people's business alone, you know? So it's going on, and I can see. So the first thing I did, I said to the talkative lady, I said, well, you know, there's another lady in line there, you know? So I just wanted to let you know that she's in line, and she, oh, I'm sorry, you know? You know, so that was kind of cooling things down a little bit. And then I said to her, well, you know, the truth is, I don't know anybody who like masks. I certainly don't. But, you know, if we can use the mask to help to not make more people catch the virus or to prolong it, I think that's a good idea. You know, and I could see the tension begin to die off, you know, which was good. And so I was able just with a few words to kind of de-escalate a situation. And things work out, and both of them end up thanking me, thanking to show her and thanking to tell her. So that kind of cooled things down, you know. But right away, people are on the edge over a mask. You know, in time gone, if you wore a mask into a bank, you were a suspect. Today, if you're going to the same bank without a mask, you're a suspect. What a way the world has changed overnight. But we don't need to get carried along with all of this. We need to apply ourselves with wisdom. Amen. We are the children of God. We are the children of light. We are the children of wisdom. And so we should so apply ourselves. We should so carry ourselves with dignity. With dignity, you know. At the end of the day, I have to pastor Republicans and Democrats and anybody in between. Amen. Yeah, so everybody should feel comfortable around the pastor. Amen. Boy, I got a smile, but not too many people want to say amen. At the end of the day, I have to pastor everybody. Yes. And we need to love one another, you know? I mean, if you choose a particular candidate and you choose one, I shouldn't look at you less because you choose a candidate. That's your right. You're exercising your franchise. We should love one another regardless. Amen? And we need to exhibit that to the world out there. Not because I disagree with you politically mean you're my enemy or I hate you. We should love one another. And that's the healthy thing about the democracy. People get to pick their sides and vote their conscience and all that stuff. That's good. That's good. And we should promote that. We should promote that. Promote love and harmony and peace. And promote choice. If people make their choice, praise God, that's your choice. And even if I don't want to vote, that's my choice too. But choices. We need to make our choices. Amen. And so the wise man says, our whole duty, the whole duty of men, the whole duty of mankind, the whole duty of you present here, men and women, boys and girls, your entire duty is to fear God and to keep his commandments. And I am very glad that God's remnant Seventh-day Adventist Church exists, because this is a church that demonstrates and teaches to the world that all mankind need to obey God and keep his Ten Commandments by the grace and faith of Jesus Christ. Not one lacking. God didn't change his Sabbath. You can't find a single text in the Bible to support that. People come up with all kind of nice sounding ideas why we should keep Sunday instead of the Sabbath. It's not in the Bible. It's not there. You can't find it. Never. God never made that change. The wise man says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of men. The truth is, you can't keep even one of those Ten Commandments on your own. Not even one. Therefore, here's a text I want to bring to your attention that is very important in the formula to fear God and keep his commandments. And it's a text, you know. It's the closing text of the third angel's message. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 12. Let us see how we can keep God's Ten Commandments. How we can keep the commandments. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 12. New King James Version. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Without the faith of Jesus, you cannot keep the commandments, not even one. But with the faith of Jesus, all things are possible. Amen. Including the possibility to keep all God's Ten Commandments. With the faith of Jesus, we are more than conquerors. With the faith of Jesus, we are renewed. We are rejuvenated. And we can return to serve in our post of duty. With the faith of Jesus, we are more than conquerors. the faith of Jesus. Here is the patience of the saints. And by the way, a saint is not someone that some church council somewhere wait until you died and they vote that you are a saint. Revelation 14:12 says, the saints are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. So I'm looking at all saints up in this place today. Today's All Saints Day. Amen. It's the Sabbath. The saints meet together and worship. This is All Saints Day. The saints over at Elmira, you know. Saint Faith and, you know, Saint Derek and Saint Megan. Saint Jim. We're all saints of Jesus. Saint Naomi, right? We're saints. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Those are the saints. Praise be to God. You know, beyond the faith of Jesus, Jesus himself also gave us an invitation. It's an open invitation to all humanity. And again, that text was in the reading for the offering. They quoted from Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. And that's where I'm going to share with you now, including verses 29 and 30. Jesus says, come to me. That sweet, soft, melodious voice of the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley. He says, come to me. All you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Can you hear Christ speaking to you present here today? I can hear his voice in these lines. But what is your answer to him? To this great invitation? What is your answer to Christ today? There are 9 points that I have noted in these 3 verses that I'd like to enunciate to you. 9 points. Christ's invitation to each of you, number one, he says, come unto me. Come unto me. Number two, he says, your load is too heavy. And did I feel that way yesterday? I surely did. I was so glad when the Sabbath came. Oh, last week was a rough week. My load feels heavy sometimes. But Jesus says, your load is too heavy. The third point is, Jesus recognizing that our load is heavy, he says, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. The fourth point, Jesus says, take my partnership offer. I'm offering a partnership here to you. The fifth point, Jesus says, learn from me. And what should we learn? It's a sixth point. Learn that Jesus is gentle and meek. He is the great I am. The same one that met Moses at the burning bush and says, Moses, put off thy shoes from thy feet, because the ground on which you stand is holy ground. The same one who says, Moses, go to my people and go to Pharaoh and tell them that I am has sent you. It's the same I am that Moses met at the burning bush. It was Jesus Christ veiled by that bush of fire. The I am is meek and lowly. The seventh point, to accept me, says Jesus, is to find rest for your soul. Did you catch that? In this reckless and restless age, Jesus says you can find rest for your soul. And you get that rest when you accept Jesus. And then the eighth point is, Jesus says, my partnership is easy. I am the bigger brother in the partnership. I am the elder brother in the partnership. I carry the burden for you. The ninth point is, Jesus says, my duty, my burden for you is not heavy, it's light. Isn't this what you want in your hearts and in your home? Yes. Christ stands ready to renew, to rejuvenate you and to help you to return to serve in your post of duty. Your post of duty is in your own heart, your own home, your own school, your own community, and wherever you find yourselves. That's your post of duty. So, be the missionary student. Be the missionary single. Be the missionary couple. Be the missionary family. Be the missionary child. Be the missionary retiree that God wants you to be. Amen. Whatever your age, there is some age-appropriate work for you to do in partnership with Christ. He stands ready to secure, to empower, and to aid you to each one reach one for Christ in Vision 2020. We all don't work the same exact way because we don't all have the same exact skill sets, gift sets. But we all have gifts and we all work for Christ. There is no spectator in the church. Amen. We're all workers for Christ. We're not all pastors, but we're all ministers. Amen. God has given to each of us a ministry, and we ought to know what that ministry is. And if you don't know as yet, find two of your closest allies in this church. They'll help you to know what your gift sets are. But we all need to be doing something for Christ. As long as you have a pulse, you have a purpose. Amen. How many of you can feel a pulse? Go check it, let me see you. Get in action. Increase your learning. Touch your hand and feel your pulse. How many of you can feel it? Raise your hand if you can feel it. Raise your hand touching that pulse if you can feel it. All right, I see some people doing the action, right? As long as you have a pulse, you have a purpose. Amen. As long as you have a pulse, you have a purpose. Christ is not asking you to give what you don't have. He's only asking you to give what you do have. But what is it that you have? No one here has anything in and of yourself of which to boast or to gloat. All that you have, like talent, the ability to reason or to express affection, or the ability to speak, your knack to discern spiritual things. Everything that you are and everything that you have them only through the kindness, benevolence, and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. All that you are and have are to be surrendered to God again and again. Our own prophet says, self-annihilation, that selfishness, to put down selfishness. Self-annihilation is a hard process, for self struggles for existence and dies hard. Our greatest battle as Christians is not the battle with the beast or the false prophet or the mark of the beast. Our greatest battle is with selfishness. Selfishness. What is your area of selfishness? Give it to Jesus. He's been this way before, so he knows how to guide us away from selfishness to total selflessness. Jesus knows how to fix us up. What is it you hang on to that you don't want to be teachable about, that you don't want anyone to guide you through? What is it that you hang on to so much? As husbands, sometimes we can be hard-headed and think we know it all, don't we? And we're the head of the house, so my way or the highway. Jesus says, submit therefore one to another. Yeah? It's funny that I've heard a little analogy where one man was boasting to a pastor and he says, I'm the head of my household, you know? And the wife said, well, I'm the neck that turns the head. The truth is, we are supposed to work in harmony, not in dictatorship. Amen? Boy, the host God silent. Yes, unity, harmony. And it says, self-annihilation is a hard process. For self struggles for the existence, self dies hard. But prayer and faith, remember we just looked and saw the faith of Jesus in Revelation 14:12. It says, but prayer and faith place the weakest sinner on vantage ground, where the hand of faith can grasp firmly the hand of the Savior. In and through Christ, we may come off more than conquerors. And somebody should say amen. That's manuscript release, volume 21, page 406. And in Romans chapter 8, 34 to 39, the Apostle Paul says, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Amen. More than conquerors. Friends, your ministry matters. We don't all have the same method of doing ministry, but your ministry matters. God has called you. And today, God is renewing you. Today, God is rejuvenating you. Today, God is returning you to serve. Today, right now. And God told his prophet about the renewal secret, how to be renewed. It was nicely read by Brother Dennis for us in Isaiah 40, 25 to 31. Speaking on behalf of God, the prophet was quoting God. And God is saying, to whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal? God has no equals. Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who has created these things? Who brings out their host by number? He calls them all by name, Orion and Pleiades, and some of them are named in the scripture, these constellations. Not only does God name the constellation, he says he calls each star by name. By the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, no one, not one is missing. God upholds the universe, including sun, moon, and stars. Why do you say, verse 27, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim, my judgment is passed over by my God. See, the ancients look forward to judgment because when God judges, the righteous are delivered and the wicked are punished. So if you're afraid of judgment day, it means you're in the class of the wicked. Oh, I could almost feel the stones coming. Well, it's an understanding audience. The righteous look forward to judgment day. In the Bible, from start to finish, judgment meant deliverance for the righteous. Judgment meant punishment for the wicked. So who wouldn't like judgment? Only the wicked. If you're righteous, you know that judgment is your deliverance. And so the ancient cried, he says, why do you, O Jacob, speak, and O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over by my God? Then God asked the question, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. God doesn't need to sleep. And oftentimes we get confused when creation story says, and on the sixth day God ended his work. He rested on the seventh day. Rested from what? God didn't get tired. He didn't work up a sweat. The Bible says he framed the worlds by his word. He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. God didn't work up a sweat. When it says he rested, it simply meant he ceased creating our world. It was done. It was complete. It was finished. Mission accomplished. Project done. He didn't need to go get some sleep. No, not the God we serve. The Bible says the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. So it doesn't matter whether you have the Hubble telescope or whatever you use to look out in space. God's wisdom, God's understanding is unsearchable. The only thing we can know about God is what he reveals to us. Who can by searching find out God? He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and the weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord. Amen. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Did you catch the secret? Your renewal, your rejuvenation. The word renew is right there, just in case you missed it. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew. There goes the word. You want to be renewed? Wait on the Lord. When you end Luke chapter 24, Jesus was preparing disciples to receive the leadership, the baptism, the guidance, the inspiration, the power that the Holy Spirit supplies. And Jesus told them to wait for the promise. Capital P. And the story is picked up in Acts chapter 1. Because you know, Luke is the author of the book of Luke and the book of Acts. So Acts is like a continuation of where he left off in Luke. And so, wait for the promise. And we're told that in the 10 day between Jesus' ascension to heaven and the descent of the Holy Spirit to take over the work of the church, the disciples were praying. They went on a 10-day praying campaign. And they were praying to give up selfishness and self-centeredness. Selfishness did die hard. But they had their breakthrough because they obeyed, they waited, they prayed. They didn't wait either. They were waiting, they were watching, they were working. And they were giving up the jockeying for position. And they were giving up the fight for the limelight. They were giving up the fight to be the head, to lead, to be. They were giving all that up. And they made way for the Holy Spirit to take over. And then came Pentecost. And then they heard a sound as of simile, sounding like the rushing of a mighty wind. And the Holy Spirit came down and he took over. See, he descended from heaven because when you see in Revelation chapter 4, he was by the throne. By the time you get to Revelation chapter 5, he was sent out to all the earth. And so he came and they heard the sound and he showed up visibly on the day of Pentecost in the form of split tongues, cloven tongues of fire. Meaning the disciples' gift of speaking was now multiplied in the languages in which they could deliver. So Dennis, who is American born and never learned a lick of Jamaican, when he took the plane over to preach in Jamaica, he was preaching fluent Jamaican. Come on, Dennis. Yes. And Derek, you know, he had never been to Germany, but when the Lord sent him to preach over in Germany, the man was fluent in German, accent and all. He pronounced the words perfectly. And when God sent Megan to French, she was speaking French like she's a prime minister over there, you know? Yeah, that's how the gift of tongues work. God gave them the gift and they could speak fluently to the different language groups that they would have to address. That's how it works. So Pentecost came. It says, they who wait on the Lord, they waited, they obeyed, and they were filled with the Spirit, and they were moved to action. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know, there is only one Messiah. And he's not in the White House, nor coming to the White House. Some people set their hopes on Trump. Others set their hopes on Biden. None of them are the Messiah. None of them is the Messiah. Jesus is the only Messiah. Amen? And as we trust in Jesus, he will see us through. As we lean on Jesus, he will provide power. As we look to Jesus, he will your strength renew. As you look to Jesus, you will be rejuvenated. As you look to Jesus, you can return to your posts of duty to serve. Jesus is our Yeshua HaMashiach. Yeshua the Messiah. Jesus the Anointed. Jesus Christ is the only Messiah. Amen. As a matter of fact, God says in Hosea chapter 13 and verse 4, yet I am the Lord your God ever since the land of Egypt. That's when some people became acquainted with him. I am the Lord your God ever since the land of Egypt, and you shall know no God but me, for there is no Savior besides me. Those are the words with which I want to close the Bible today. Friends, Jesus is on his way. He's almost finished with the atonement that he's doing in the heavenly sanctuary. He's almost done. And he wants to give you a total renewal, total rejuvenation before he leaves that sacred ministry. Are you following him by faith there? Are you watching for your own salvation? Are you watching out to make sure that your calling and election is sure? I'm going to read you one little paragraph from this book. It's a compilation from Spirit of Prophecy writing. It says, the matchless charms of Christ. This one little paragraph, and it was written in Signs of the Time in like 1892. It says here, when sinners have a view of the matchless charms of Jesus, sin no longer looks attractive to them. For they behold the chiefest among 10,000, the one altogether lovely. They realize by a personal experience the power of the gospel, whose vastness of design is equaled only by its preciousness of purpose. The gospel, its vastness of design is only equaled by its preciousness of purpose. The gospel restores humanity in the very image of God. The gospel renews, rejuvenates, and it returns us to serve in our posts of duty. Friends, God loves you with an everlasting love. Christ is coming back, and it is sooner than later. If you should die now or anytime soon or whenever you die, the next moment after that, you'll be seeing Christ, hopefully, in his second return and not after the millennium. Because that would be 1,000 years too late. Your resurrection would be 1,000 years too late. Today, you have the privilege right now, in this moment, to make your calling and election sure. All you have to do today is to come to Christ and say, Lord, I recognize that by nature I am a terrible sinner indeed. I recognize Jesus that you have already paid the price for my redemption. And Lord, I come now to make a full and complete surrender, to give my all into your hands. I recognize that my duty, my entire duty, my whole duty is to fear you, God, and to keep your commandments. So now, Lord, take me over and lead me into this experience. Is that your desire today? A fresh and brand new renewal? If that's your desire, I invite you to stand with me. I invite you to stand in commitment. And the good news is, in a little while, we're going home. Let's sing hymn number 626, and Luke is coming to help lead us on that. You can find in your Bibles hymn number 626. In a little while, we're going home. That is good news, isn't it?
Amen.
Renewed, rejuvenated. Now it's time to return to a post of duty to serve. Let's pray together. Father and our holy God in heaven, precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, the Comforter, Chief Teacher, Divine Guide, we bow in your sacred presence at this time and say, thank you, Lord, for our church service today. Thank you for Sabbath school today. Thank you today for the Sabbath. Thank you for the fellowship of believers today. And we pray now, Lord, that even as we sung in commitment that hymn, that in a little while we're going home, help us to mean every word of what we just sung, Lord.
Amen.
Let us sing with the Spirit, and let us sing with the understanding also. Let us pray with the Spirit, and let us pray with the understanding also. We come today, Lord, because we need you. We come today because your great love for us, we come now to reciprocate some of that love in return to you. Thank you, God, for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for redeeming us. Thank you, Lord, for paying the ransom price for us. And we pray in a special way now that we'll accept your redemption. We'll accept your ransom. We'll accept your salvation. And we'll accept your renewal, your rejuvenation, and your power to return to serve.
Amen.
Lord, baptize us with the Spirit. And help us, Lord, to live in our hearts and homes, in our schools and communities, in our church, Lord. Wherever we find ourselves, help us to live only for you. Oh, Lord, bless every father here, every mother, every grandfather, every grandmother, every son, every daughter, every youth, every child. Bless everyone today, Lord, with the baptism of the Spirit. Give us a fresh touch from heaven. And as we depart from this place today, may we depart to serve. Lord, thank you for the reminder of who we are.
Yes.
That each of us here is a saint of the Most High God.
Yes.
And that we'll go out and demonstrate your love to the world around us.
Amen.
Father, please take away our sin. Strip us from all unrighteousness. Clothe us with the righteousness of Christ. And may we continue to behold Christ and his matchless charms, that sin will lose its attraction to us. Ready us for heaven, Lord, even now. And may we go from this place forgiven. May we go from this place cleansed. May we go from this place made whole. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.